Welcome back to the podcast, The Life After. My name is, as always, Ulrich Nalo. And in today's episode, I can promise you there's going to be lots of love in the room, lots of energy in the room, and lots of reflections in the room, and new insights, hopefully, for you. Because in front of me, there's a young man at the age, physically, of 42. He's a mentor, he's a writer, he's a keynote speaker, he's a transformation expert, working with people, and he's an illusionist. In front of me is Anders Henderson. Welcome very much to The Life After.
Thank you, Ulrich. It's my pleasure. I really appreciate you.
Thank you so much. Likewise. So, Anders, when I was preparing for this conversation yesterday, I came across a sentence, and I literally thought, okay, this is my brother from another mother, because I read that one of your life goals is to create consciousness in people. And I really look forward to digging more into that conversation. But for you guys who are listening, regular listeners on The Life After, you know they always start with the same question each and every time. And in this case, Anders, who's Anders?
Well, it's two words I was given. Anders Henderson is my name, but of course that's not me. And we're like, yeah, and that's two words you've been given, but that's not you either, right?
Sure.
We're pure spirit, and you know, originally I was born here in Denmark in Sønderborg, and I've spent most of my life chasing an illusion, you know, spending my time creating illusions, but also chasing one as a professional illusionist. And I realized throughout my career that as much as I was trying to deceive people, their perception of their reality, the more I was really deceiving myself. I got lost in that world of chasing more, ego-driven, having to do more, and I crashed with my health after having moved from Denmark to the United States in 2006, and I lived there for 17 years, became a United States citizen last year, but back then, I, you know, moved, lost everything when I did. My former business partner and I stopped working together, my dad passed, and everything seemed so uncertain, but I was sitting there in Miami with nothing but two suitcases and a deck of cards, and I rebuilt my career in magic. But I lost myself in that process, and I was doing big shows on television, cruise ships, and reached a point where I was starting to question why I did what I did. It wasn't really fulfilling anymore to get people to ask themselves the question, how did he do the trick? Because at the end of the day, I really didn't care. It wasn't fulfilling. It was a very hollow experience that I had a dream of when I was younger, but living it didn't feel great. And I was traveling a lot, 23 countries in a month, 8 flights on average per week.
Pause. 23 countries a month.
Mm-hmm. I was doing shows on cruise ships and all over the world. And it was big shows, big production shows, 13 dancers in my cast, 5 technicians. So looking in, it looked like a dream life. You know, I saw the world, got paid well for it, but it didn't feel like that. And so in that attempt to run faster, work harder, sleep less, of course, I crashed with my health, and I had to rebuild everything. And I had studied personal development. In fact, there was a book that changed the direction of my life, which is Joseph Murphy's classic, The Power of Your Subconscious Mind, the one I brought you as well.
Thank you.
It's a magnificent book. And I read that when I was broke, sick, unhappy. I was close to homeless in a new country. And in 1 year, I went from living, performing magic on tips, for tips, you know, $20 a night was a great night for me. And I went from that to producing these big production shows on cruise ships, 5-star cruise ships all over the world in 1 year. And I knew it wasn't luck. I knew it wasn't a God sitting up there and giving me, you know, an opportunity. I knew it had something to do with my way of thinking. And so I became obsessed with finding out more. And that sent me out on a lifelong trajectory of learning more, spirituality, personal development, quantum physics, to try and learn more about what creates my world. And that's when I knew I had to stop in entertainment. And I made a decision. I said, if I'm going to do this, If I'm going to take everything I learned from being on stage, merge it with personal transformation, I need to learn from the best in the world in personal development. And I did. I used all these tools to attract Bob Proctor into my life, and he and I became very good friends, and many people know him from the book and the movie The Secret, like you and I talked about earlier, that impacted 500 million people globally. But he and I became really good friends, and in a five-year period, we created a program together, The Secret to Real Magic, that we brought to the world in 2020, and he helped me build Real Magic Live to what it is today, which is a personal transformation seminar and show in one. So that was the short version of the story.
So, Anders, I'm thinking to myself, 2006, you're in Sønderborg, southern part of Denmark. Mm-hmm. For you guys who are not from Denmark, you would know what it is. But, I mean, it's a settled part of Denmark, I would say. It's very calm. Share a little bit the story from southern part of Denmark to the conclusion, I'm going to Vegas.
Yeah, it was a great and a very uncertain time of my life at the same time. I had a business partner here in Denmark that I performed with for many, many years. We grew up together, performed magic together. But we had reached a point where we knew that we had to part ways. We had traveled the U.S., you know, as tourists and come back here. And he wanted to stay, develop his career here. And I just knew I wanted to come back to the U.S. I just knew my heart was there. And I couldn't explain it beyond that. But I remember just making a conscious decision, going to the embassy, getting a traveler's visa. I sold everything I had. What I couldn't sell, I gave away. And I jumped on a plane, and I didn't look back. It had nothing to do with Denmark. I love Denmark for everything that it you know, stands for and includes. But I just had become such a negative, depressed version of myself. I was struggling with my own identity. There was a lot of uncertainty in my life, and I didn't know what to do. So in that moment of desperation, I just jumped on that plane and it was a desperate attempt to reinvent myself, basically. And I actually landed in Miami first. That was the city I've always dreamt of for some reason. And I started rebuilding my life and my career from there, and then ended up moving to Vegas later on when I was producing and performing shows and cruise ships and television and things like that. So, yeah, Sønderborg is a very it's a beautiful little city. Life is in comparison to Miami and Las Vegas very quiet. Yeah, I just knew it was time for me to go. And I think many of us reach a point in life where we know that everything we have is what we don't want.
Sure.
And then that's good enough, you know, to start making decisions from. And that's what I did.
And I think the biggest difference in your story, and for that case, my own story, is that, I mean, I think there's a lot of people that get to the insights and the consciousness of that everything I have is not what I want, mm-hmm. but very few people actually have the courage to do something about it. When I was preparing for this conversation, I was in some parts literally reliving my own story, because immediately when I of course I knew about Bob Proctor and The Secret, but for you guys who've never heard about The Secret, I can definitely share that it changed my life totally when I think it was 2008 or 9 maybe, I came across The Secret, and I watched the movie, read the book, and bricks was just falling into my puzzle of why my life was as it was, and looking back in my past, understanding where did I came from and why had things turned out in the way that they actually had. But share a little bit your story first. Share a little bit, what is The Secret? And let's hear a little bit about your story.
Well, The Secret is it's a book and a movie that Rhonda Byrne produced back in 2004, 2005, I believe. A distant family member of mine actually gave me a copy back then as well. And I remember reading it. And like yourself, there was something in it that just resonated on a deeper level. Especially when I saw Bob Proctor on screen, I just resonated with his certainty and his authority and, well, the energy around him. There was just something about the way he communicated that I just fell in love with. And that was my first sort of experience with it. And I remember at the time I was still in Miami, and I actually copyrighted a concept where people's dreams were to become reality live on stage through magic, you know, with those tools. And I asked myself, if I could create something like that, that would bring those tools into people's reality with magic, that would be really epic and really different. And so I copyrighted that concept, didn't do much with it, put it back in the drawer and kept moving on my career in the typical entertainment fashion. But when I crashed with my health in entertainment, I came back to that idea. I was like, it's time to do something about it. And that's when I made a decision to leave everything behind. I was sitting on a cruise ship like I had been on for years, flying back to and from that same ship, every week for my shows. And in the dressing room, the show was over that night. And I remember thinking to myself, this was the last show I did in this fashion. And I'm going to create something different. I'm going to make a decision to go into personal development and use my experience from magic to help me do that. But I'm going to work with the best in the world in personal development. I'm not going to just accept help from somebody who hasn't proved by results that they know what they're talking about. I'm going to learn from someone who actually has. And I didn't put a name on the person, but I said, I'm going to learn from the best in the world. And that was 2016, the fall of 2016. And we lived in Las Vegas at the time, my partner and I, and it was a very confusing period again, because I had just given up everything like I had before. So it wasn't unfamiliar to me to just give up 80% of what took me here. But I did it again. I gave everything up in entertainment, my whole career. People said, you're nuts, you're crazy. It went so well. But, I knew there was better around the corner. I just didn't know how yet.
And I guess you didn't feel crazy.
I didn't feel crazy. No. Absolutely not. I felt certain in a vision that was bigger than what I was living. But of course, a lot of people didn't understand it. But I started living from that new idea of working with the best in the world. I saw myself on stage with the person, saw myself creating programs with that person. And New Year's Eve 2016, my partner said to me, I'm going to work. We're going to be really busy. And that was unusual for me to hear him say that, because he hated his work. He worked at Louis Vuitton at the Bellagio in Las Vegas. Sales, very luxury sales. It's very cutthroat, very just not a very appealing environment. And so he didn't like it. But he said, I'm going to go to work. And in that moment, my intuition kicked in and told me to go and pick him up when he was done, but to go an hour early. And that didn't make any sense. So now my intellect was debating my intuition. But I decided to follow my intuition. So I went to Bellagio, parked my car an hour early, walked around, and in the lobby, in the reception area, I ran right into Bob Proctor. I literally ran into him like that. And I went, holy smokes, God. And that little guy from Sonobol, you can't disturb the man. And so, but again, then this other quote came to my mind, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. So, okay, here you go. I have to introduce myself. Mr. Proctor, my name is Anders, sorry to disturb you, to interrupt you. And he goes, who are you? What do you do? Well, I was an illusionist.
Sorry.
Yeah, exactly. He had a very stern voice, but he was very certain in the way he spoke. Who are you? What do you do? But he also read energy. He was a master at reading energy. And I told him, I am an illusionist, but now I want to do what you do. He went, magic, personal development. I never heard it before. Lunch tomorrow?
All right. Sorry, can't make it.
Yes, let me look at my busy schedule, Of course, lunch tomorrow. So we sat down beginning of January at the Bellagio in Las Vegas, 8 o'clock in the morning, and we talked about how we could bring this idea to life. And he became a dear friend, and at that moment, I felt I won the lottery of the universe, He'd done this for 62 years, and I knew learning from him one-on-one for the next 5 years was the biggest blessing in my life, and it's been great. So of course, The Secret, Bob, all of that came into my life. But
yeah, because Bob is a major part of The Secret in terms of putting facts into perspectives in the book and the movie.
He was, but like he also pointed out very soon, he said, Anders, that book and that movie is actually very shallow. It's very inspirational.
Yeah,
people got a lot out of it,
yeah.
But it doesn't go into any great depth.
No.
He's been teaching about the primary laws, the law of vibration, his whole life, and was able to share with me a lot of those concepts that also made me realize what had created that moment at the Bellagio, because I knew it wasn't luck either, but I couldn't really define what it was that I had done. But he said, you couldn't have been any other way, because you were on that specific frequency long enough for the universe to respond to it, that put us both at the same place at the same time. And then I started reasoning with that idea. What are the odds that two people that do not know each other intellectually are on the same spot on this planet, which is fairly big, at the same spot at the same time? What are the odds? You know, they're so minuscule. Like the idea of winning the Super Bowl, Powerball lottery, would be probably bigger.
Mm.
But that's how it happened, and that's my story. And people don't believe it sometimes when I tell them, but that's the God honest truth.
And it's super interesting, Anders, because, I mean, I've always said that coincidence doesn't happen. I mean, it's moments, energy meet, and they unite, and it's a vibration that was bringing us from A to B, and all movement from A to B, if we should go into quantum physics, which we will be doing in a few moments. And that's just creating the movement from A to B. And I mean, when I listen to people around me in my own life, people have this perception that everything has been easy, things just drops into the basket, and it seems so smooth that everything is occurring. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, what is it that they can't see? It's super tough, and it's challenging, and it's scary sometimes, and it requires a massive amount of energy to succeed with the things I'm succeeding with. But nevertheless, from the outside and in, it seems super easy, which it isn't really, right?
I think it depends on your perception. I've realized over the years, like when it was in entertainment, it was definitely much harder, much more heavy work, physical work, you know, to make that stuff happen. Today, I do see myself trading more in energy than physical, for sure. And I find the more I raise my awareness on my thoughts and my emotional state, the more things fall into place on the physical. Because one thing that Bob taught me was the physical world that we experience through the senses, that's not where things are. That's where things end up as a result of a thought or a frequency. And so the more I align myself with that way of thinking, the more flow comes and happens. But there's times when my ego wanted to lead, or something happened and I felt, you know, for whatever reason, not right. And then it became this this friction-based experience where the more I have to make happen, you know, the more heavy it felt. But the times I've recognized this, and I've been in a phase again in my life where I have recently, the more I just go back to basics, you know, what am I? There's an ending to that magnificent movie, The Way of the Peaceful Warrior, and the narrator asks the main character three questions. Where are you? And he goes, here. What time is it? Now. What are you? This moment. And then the movie ends, and I think it's so brilliant because that's all it is.
Mm.
So the more I come back to that idea of all I am is this moment, all is energy, and the more flow starts finding its way back to my life. And I've been in those phases of my life through 3-4 times. And again, you know, the more I go back to basics and then proceed from that idea, the more smooth sailing it is, at least for the short time being.
So one of the topics that we definitely share a passion about is the difference between unconscious to becoming conscious. Mm-hmm. And I'm very much inspired by Dr. Bruce Lipton and Dr. Joe Dispenza on their research independently and together on epigenetics and the subconsciousness, the programming of the subconsciousness, and that basically 95% of what we do, think, and feel every day is unconscious. Mm-hmm. When I published my first book, The Life Bridge, from an unconscious, Your Journey from an Unconscious Conscious Life, I got a bit of criticism because some of the critics thought this concept of unconsciousness and consciousness was too woohoo and a little bit too spiritual. Nevertheless, a bunch of future researchers that I communicate with are saying that the future will be built on consciousness. And taking into consideration that the average is unconscious 95% of the day, we have a massive amount of unreleased potential in that area. I know that you are talking about the unconscious powers. Tell us a little more about the journey of that understanding.
Well, it's true. Like in the world of AI and artificial intelligence, there's one thing that can't be replaced, and that's human awareness and human consciousness. In fact, Rega Hertz, my good friend, and I wrote a book about that, and we're doing an event every year in the Royal Opera House around that concept, because it becomes more and more important for us human beings to wake up to that fact. If we think it's intellect alone that will do the trick, we've already lost. You know, we need to raise our awareness on more than on the importance of more than just the intellect alone. So we are, as you say, governed by 95% to 98% of unconscious behaviors, patterns that we've inherited through our DNA, and that those patterns are then reinforced in the early upbringing in our life, because at that point we're just a body and a subjective mind. There's no reasoning capability yet. There's no reasoning faculties. There's just an open cup and a body. So everything that goes on around that baby gets dumped right in there, and that creates the programming. And so we, Madame Montessori, the lady that started the Montessori schools in the United States, she said it very well. We treat children like an empty cup that needs to go to school to be filled up. What we don't realize is that the cup is already full. We just need to draw it out of them. And so children are actually closer in touch with their mental faculties. They have, we all have imagination, intuition, reason, memory, perception, and intuition. And so we can develop those higher faculties, and that enables us, that sets us apart from any other animal life. But that's an inner awareness. You know, animals have a simple awareness. They are also aware of their objective world like we are. They can see, hear, touch, taste, and smell. We can too, but we have the potential for an inner awareness, and that takes some work. And so most people aren't very aware. They also primarily go by what they can experience through their senses, because we've been programmed to since little kids. Do you see what I'm saying? Do you hear what I'm telling you? You know, all of that programming goes straight into that subjective mind. So we basically just correspond to everything we can relate to with our senses. And that is a big mistake, a huge mistake. There's so much more to us than meets the eye. You know, we think we are the body we live in. We sort of joked about our age and our name before we started, but that's just stuff we've been given, mm-hmm. You know? And a good mentor of mine from India said, he's been studying with Sadhguru, and he said, you know, Anders, when you confuse who you are with what you have, you will always have problems. And so so most people live an unconscious life. They go through the day reacting to patterns built into their, you know, biocomputer, their subjective mind, or they react to something in their environment, but they don't consciously create their life and their environment the way they want to. And we have that potential. And I think we have to come back to basics and understand who we are. You know, we're a creative being. We're created in God's image, or you can say the image of the universe. You can use any label depending on your religious or, you know, spiritual persuasion. But if there is a creator, if there's something that is creating and
bigger than us.
Exactly. And it created us. We're a creative being. We're here to create. So what does that mean? That means not repeating life on autopilot. That means taking part in that creative process and tapping into that higher side of our personality, using imagination to build beautiful pictures of what we want, using our willpower to hold that picture on the screen of our mind, utilizing intuition to guide us. It's said that when we pray, we're sending an intention to the universe. When we're utilizing our intuitive factor, the universe or God is talking to us. You know, we can use our perception. I can change my perception on anything. Is it controlling me, or am I controlling it? There's always two viewpoints to everything, you know? You can't have out without an in, up without a down, hot without a cold, problem without a solution, two sides of the same thing, not two different things. We have memory. Memory's perfect. You can't have a bad memory. You can have a weak one or a strong one, but that's another mental tool. And so all these higher faculties, imagination, will, intuition, perception, memory, and then reason, is reasoning give us the ability to think. We can actually think. We're a thinking human being, and people don't think. They repeat that old pattern. You know, we go to school, we're taught what to think, but we're not taught how to think. So in my opinion, it's just, in many cases, young kids are just being brainwashed to think certain things, but they're not taught how to think. They're not taught how to use their reasoning capability. And that's a little that's, you know, sad. Or it just is, depending on how you look at it. That's a law of polarity. But in our seminars, we can have 500, 600 people. And I ask sometimes, who here in this room can stand up and make a presentation about their mental tools? Just 5-10 minutes. One hand, maybe two hand, hands go up. In an entire room of 500-600 people, we're part
scary.
Of one of the most well-educated countries in the world, but we know virtually nothing about ourselves.
No.
Absolutely nothing. We don't know how the mind works, conscious, subconscious, body relation. We don't know what self-image is, our emotional conception of ourselves. We don't know what our mental tools are. But those are all tools we need to develop to raise our conscious awareness about what's possible and who and what we are. So it's a long dialogue, like, and we could probably dive into a lot of aspects of this, but to sum it up, knowledge is something you gather through the senses. And if knowledge was essential, ChatGPT would have solved all the world's problems. But we've never had more challenges than we have now, so obviously that wasn't the trick. It's awareness that you build from within. When you take knowledge, apply the knowledge, change a result in your life, then you build an awareness of what's needed and what's possible. So I usually say that people don't create results based on their knowledge. Again, if knowledge was essential, librarians would have magnificent lives. They have access to all the information in the world, right? But it's not. That is not the key. So we have this program part of the mind, and in businesses too, we see it all the time. We fill people up with information. We get them to repeat and regurgitate the information, and we say, now they've learned it. They haven't learned a darn thing. They've just learned to memorize some information, right? The programming in the subjective mind still controls their behavior. Still controls their activities, their results. And so people get smarter and smarter intellectually, and they have lesser and lesser results with it. So it creates friction and confusion. And so what we're doing is developing that higher side of our personality so that we can reprogram the subjective side of our personality and thereby actually get the results. So now emotional intelligence, intuition, inner leadership, all of those things come into the picture. But to a large extent, it's overlooked in many areas. And that's why I love your work, because you're bringing consciousness into organizations and teams. And that's what's needed right now. It's that inner awareness. It's not enough anymore to just have smarts. That model is completely outdated.
Thank you for just giving me goosebumps. So one of my favorite quotes is from Joe Dispenza. He says, once you change your personality, that will be the moment you change your personal reality. And the way in is the way out. And I think, I mean, so back to our shared dream of changing the world into a more conscious place, school systems, we educate children to become something. But the most important thing for the future is to become someone. And I mean, when our children they're doing very well in school and they come back with their big and really good grades. And we, of course, cherish that. And we says, I mean, and now they've heard it so many times. Yeah, I know that. It's most important thing is to wake up happy and go be happy to bed and be who you are. And that is literally the most important thing for my wife and I, and really to put that into children. One of my biggest concerns for humanity is that approximately 89% of our identity perception is put into what we do. I mean, this is why I always start by having the first question. So who are you? Because the vast majority will always go through the CV, the roles. I'm a dad. I'm a squash player or whatever. But that's not the answer, actually. It's what are you? And people often can't distinguish these things. And with changes coming, AI, literally, I'm educating myself as an AI master at the moment and really getting into a deep depth of understanding what is this? And I mean, the internet's going to be looking like nothing when we finally understand what AI is bringing in, and what will that impact? That will impact totally of what we are, which would, to a certain extent, we know from a research that men, when they lose their jobs, 1/3 of them are considering taking their own lives because the identity is so hard hit. In the moment, well, you used to be a lawyer. No, I'm a lawyer. No, you used to be, or a banker. And in the past, when people lost their job, that was a time of not having a new job, and then they found another job in another bank, whatever. But within the next 5 years, they're going to be meeting all the other colleagues from all the other banks, because it's not that they lost their job. No, the job disappeared, were changed to a server in the sky, which, of course, makes a tremendously challenge in the well-being of people. And as long as we don't understand that things come from the inside and out, and happiness never comes from the outside and in, we can buy beautiful cars and bags from Louis Vuitton and whatever. But still, I mean, I've been there, you've been there. And even though you have all the things you want in the world, you still have this deep, profound emptiness inside. And I always say that I'm probably one of the most naive people in the world because I ideally believe that all my dreams will come true. And having said that, the moment where all my dreams has come true, I would rather die. Because it would be so empty that checking the box, and there would be nothing left for me to wake up for. I love waking up, having my dreams to wait for and work with them and really visualizing them, seeing them develop. And over and over when things materialize, I realize it's actually the journey that's the most important part of the learning path, more than the realization itself. Now, you and I both very spiritual, deeply profounded in the spiritual energy. I started like 5 or 6 years ago really to dig deep into the understanding of quantum physics, because suddenly something that was like woo-hoo, we couldn't explain, suddenly we are able to explain spiritual understandings and capabilities through quantum physics. Share a little bit about your journey in taking personal development, spirituality, and quantum physics into one pot.
Wow, that's a big question, and it's a I think it's a matter of continued study and just curiosity as a whole. I became obsessed with understanding more about myself back then when I crashed in the entertainment industry, like I said, and I started watching movies. One was called What the Bleep Do We Know? There's a quantum physicist in that movie. His name is Fred Allen Wolf, and I loved the way he talked, the same way Bob talked. Bob was a master at bringing Howard-level stuff down to a fifth-grader level where everybody could understand it. Fred Allen Wolf has the same capability with quantum physics, and I watched that movie on repeat over and over and over again, and I just became more and more fascinated with it. And one day, I was booked to go to a cruise ship. It was last minute because the performer got sick that had scheduled to do a show. So same morning, I flew to Merida, Mexico, and took a cab up to a little port city called Progreso, where I was supposed to meet the cruise ship, and that same day. And we took off, and I did my show that night. And in the middle, in the first row in the theater, which seated about 1,500 people, Fred and Alan Wolf were sitting in the front row in the audience. And I go, oh my gosh, you know, that's the guy I was just
that's him
looking at in the movie. What the heck? You know, but it couldn't have been any other way, of course. And I asked him after, you know, we fell into conversation, and it turns out we were members of the same magic club in Los Angeles, because he was fascinated with magic his whole life too. He said, magic is much like a reality. It's much like reality. The magic doesn't happen until there's somebody there to observe it. The same way that reality doesn't happen until there's somebody there to observe it. Mm. So everything happens in a wave function. There's infinite possibility, side by side, always. He said, we don't live in a universe. We live in a multiverse where multiple realities exist until we start choosing. And he and I had some really great conversations about these concepts and how magic and quantum physics actually has many parallels to it. But he was sort of my mentor in quantum physics and was able to bring these concepts down to a level where even I could understand it, you know. Yeah, and again, spirituality, personal development. I've had that great fortune of being able to, or not fortune, I guess, just blessings as a whole, to manifest these people into my life that was able to guide me in these different areas, and people who really knew what they were talking about. There's a lot of, in this industry, I guess, too, and like in many other industries, a lot of pseudoscience and fluff and hype, and finding people who actually have done what they're talking about is rare. And
true.
And I just made that decision back then to do everything I could to become the best student that I know. And that's what I attempt to do.
Sometimes I wish I could do podcasts that was like 3 days in a row.
Tell me about it. I feel the same sometimes.
I feel like we're just scratching the surface and we could like make 10 episodes of each topic here. I read an article where you quoted, "One's results are always an expression of the conscious level we have and not the knowledge that we've gained." What do you mean by that?
So a person does not create results based on their knowledge. Like, and that's sort of back to a little bit back to what we talked about before. I can gather a lot of information with my intellect, and I can demonstrate that I can repeat the information, that I have memorized it. And we have somehow conned an entire generation of multiple generations of people into believing that they've learned something. We have people coming out of the universities with degrees, you know, filling up their business cards. They know a lot of things, but they can't make life work. You look at their results. They're mediocre. They do not match all the beautiful knowledge that they run around with. So obviously that wasn't the key. So what is the key? The key is to understand that, you know, we don't create results with our intellect. We create results based on our conscious level of awareness. And that is developed by study, understanding, and application. So a person who has turned their annual income into their monthly income, they have become aware of how to do that. Nobody can take that awareness away from them. And I joke and often say, you don't pop a chicken back in the egg either. You know, you can't take consciousness away from a person either. A person who is becoming aware of how to govern their thoughts to such an extent that their physical body starts healing. And yes, I do believe that our thought patterns make us sick or makes us better. They at least largely contribute to it. I've worked with over 10,000 people all over the world, and I must conclude that has a very big that's a very big factor.
Huge.
And there's more and more studies actually that does show that as well. But that person will never become unaware of what made the result. They can go back to an old pattern of behaving, but the awareness is with them forever. A person who's becoming aware of how to build a strong emotional conception of themselves, a strong self-image, so that they attract a dream partner that matches that image, will never become unaware again of how to do that. So you can go back to an old pattern, but the awareness stays. And that's my point. A person who's earning $100,000 a year is not earning that because they want it. They're earning that because they're not consciously aware of how to earn $100,000 a month or a week. Could they do it? Absolutely. What's missing? Conscious awareness. They can read all the books in the world, but unless they start translating that information into behavior, into it becoming a part of their habitual behavior, nothing will change. And so that's what we're working with in all our seminars and programs is not filling people's minds up with more useless information. It's helping them change at the root. So changing their subjective emotional conception of themselves. And then we see them step out into the world and create phenomenal results. So it's illogical to have a business go from annual revenue to monthly revenue in less than a year. That doesn't happen very often, but it does. I see it happen often. It happened in my business. And so, you know, I sat there and wondered what the heck happened, but I just did everything my good mentor told me. I became aware of something I wasn't aware of before. We have participants who were diagnosed with really bad illnesses that they were supposed to have for the rest of their life, and all of a sudden they're happy and healthy. They became aware of how to change a result. We have people who attracted their dream partner or otherwise created great freedom in their life. They became aware of how to do that because they integrated. Their mind accepted a new idea, their subjective mind integrated it, it became part of their habitual behavior, their energy frequency, and thereby their results. And so it's a pretty simple process, but it's not logical. It is far from logical. And that was one thing my good friend Bob Proctor warned me about in the beginning. He says, Anders, if you do exactly as I'm telling you, you can have anything you want. And I didn't believe him. Actually, I believed him, but I didn't believe me. I believed his belief in me, but I didn't believe I could. But my belief in his belief in me was stronger than my belief in my doubt. So it, you know, did exactly like he told me. And he said, if you will study this text, and he gave me a text, it was very heavy. It took me like a month and a half just to understand what it said. But I studied that text for, God, it was probably 4 years, every day, every day, every day. And I got more and more out of it. And I started realizing my behavior started to shift in harmony with that text. And that's when I realized it made sense now when he told me that he had read the same book every day since 1962. He was still reading it every day. Think and Grow Rich, Napoleon Hill's classic. That book changed his life. That book changed my life, The Power of Your Subconscious Mind. I read it often. For periods, I'll read it every day. I know what it says, but that's not the point.
No.
You know, he says when you read a book the first time, the second time, 120th time, you don't see something in the book that wasn't there before. You see sides of yourself that wasn't there before.
The mirror.
Yeah, and you start adopting a different behavioral pattern. So the educated people think they just have to plow through books and books and books, and they gather the information, but the results don't change. Why is that? Their programming hasn't changed. The only way to change the programming is through an emotional impact, which is like a shock to the central nervous system. We don't do that. It's through two conscious-based repetition, repeating the same information over and over and over again. I'm on day 1,717 of writing my goal out in hand. Writing my gratitude out in that journal that I gave you, like every day, every day, every day. And then there's third way to do it is through energy psychology. There's EFT, tapping, hypnosis. There's a lot of Bruce Lipton's great techniques. There's a lot of techniques you can use to change at the root, but that's where it's at. And that requires discipline. It requires, you know, more than just information. So I'm not sure if that answers your question, Ulrich, but that's the key. So yeah, it's not what you know that will give you results. That's not it. It's your level of conscious awareness that gives you your results. And so you can be very uneducated. I know people who can barely read and write, and they have businesses all over the world. How the heck does that happen? They're a very high level of conscious awareness. You have other people who have gone to school their entire life, and they're broke and unhappy. How does that happen? I have a friend he studied finance his whole life, multiple degrees, universities, and he's buried in debt. He never learned how to earn money. He's completely unaware of what it means to earn money, but he can puddle around in a spreadsheet all day long. So it's not the intellect. It's the awareness that's the key.
And I'm sure this will resonate with you. I mean, I'm pushing nearly 6,000 hours of one-to-one mentoring. I'm literally still surprised of how many people who actually have all the needed tools of understandings of how they should change, what they should do different. Literally, they have everything in place, but they never engaged doing anything with these tools. And I think it's the potential is infinite, for sure. So, Anders, talk about the impossible, talk about magic, talk about the ability to create, writing dreams, goals down. If we should end this conversation by where we started, focusing on you as a person, not what you are, but who you are, what are the three biggest dreams you as a person have?
The biggest one is to take the concept Real Magic Live, which we copyrighted and built, and take it out into stadiums and arenas around the world, helping millions of people, inspiring them, empowering them to lead and live happier, healthier, and wealthier lives. And that's my goal. That's why I'm here in this lifetime, is to take my former career in magic and mix it with something much more powerful, which is helping people understand the innate power that they themselves hold to light up their own world, but also in turn light up the world around them. And I also have a personal goal my next personal goal is getting my pilot license. I want to enjoy more freedom. Living in Miami is a beautiful thing. I've lived in the U.S. for 17 years, but I want to be able to fly more to those islands in the Caribbean and just enjoy more of my freedoms and
quality time.
Yeah, quality time with my partner and two dogs and that's it. But the most important thing is to now really amp that up. We've done Real Magic Live events. We've done them in Las Vegas, in Miami, here in Denmark. We've done virtual events as well. But the next step up is really going back into the international market and doing it on a much, much larger scale.
And it's been absolutely a privilege. I'm super grateful and proud that you've been in my studio here, and I love the conversation. I love what you do. That could sound like a little bit selfish, because a lot of things that you do is kind of the same that I do it, but nevertheless, it's not the same. It's just the same toolbox. But thank you so much. I really, really appreciate having you here.
It's my pleasure. Like, thank you for having me. It's a big honor.
Likewise. And for you guys sitting out here listening here, I really, really hope that our conversation has contributed to your awareness and your consciousness. I really, really hope that you start listening much more to yourself and the inner voice. I mean, working on your intuition can be quite scary. Trust me, I've tried it so many times where my brain thinking, are you nuts? Don't do that. But you could just feel that the voice of your heart and your energy is saying to you, you need to do this. And each and every time I really listened, I realized that that was the right thing to do. And I'm sure that would be the same thing for you. And as I always say, remember that the only thing there is between an existing day today and a different kind of day tomorrow is the decision to try something new. So I really hope that the conversation between me and Anas today has contributed towards that. Take care, everybody. Bye.